Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport. Thank you for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Terry Foy, joined today by Brody Merrill, among other elements and titles, such as one of the greatest lacrosse players of all time. He is the boys lacrosse coach at the Hill Academy, which is one of the premier high school lacrosse teams in the country and in North America, but dealing with some unique circumstances in the COVID-19 pandemic, both with having, like many, lost the 2020 season, as well as in the intervening span of time, seeing the border closure really affect attendees' ability to travel back and forth from the United States to Canada, and the effects on the recruitment of the class of 2021, 22s, and a lot of other different types of elements. So we're going to talk to Brody this morning and learn a little bit more about what's going on. First things first, Coach Merrill, how are you holding up?
I'm doing well, Terry. Good to hear from you and happy to be on.
So I think to begin, you know, one of the elements of the way in which we should best start is it's been a wild year for the Hill Academy as you've transitioned into a new campus to start the 2020-21 academic year. And I know that closing out the 2020 year was a huge part of that process, and certainly having executed the move and getting students on campus and everything that goes along with that was no doubt a Herculean effort. How do you describe it? What was it like?
Yeah, it was pretty intense. It continues to be in some ways, but we have a great leadership team, and you know, I work alongside my brother Patrick and sister Tori, and so I give them a lot of credit, and as well as our staff, and you know, and then our students too, is just being being able to adapt and commit to this in such uncertain time, and you know, it was kind of a good news, bad news scenario in that we obviously not ideal to make this big of a move, you know, in with everything going on today, but in the same breath, it's been amazing as we've transitioned over to our new campus, just being able to do so much more than we've ever been able to do, you know, and I think with the COVID layer, just having more space and being more well equipped to meet some of our, you know, all the safety protocols. So, overall, it really has been a cool thing, you know, like almost surreal moving to our new campus. It's, you know, obviously like everyone else, just dealing with certain challenges, but again, overall, it's been really positive.
How do you describe the new campus? You know, I understand that it's a drive away from where you had previously been located, and it's, I believe, on the site of a former monastery. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's about 10 minutes from where I grew up, and so it borders the town of Orangeville, and so I never actually had known of the property, you know, growing up. It feels very rural, but it's literally, you know, five minutes from downtown Orangeville. So it's, it's only an hour from Toronto, about 45 minutes from where we were before. It's a real, you know, I'm biased, but, you know, Orangeville's, you know, amongst one of the top towns, you know, across North America in terms of producing lacrosse players, and with the history of the Northmen, and you know, being one of the top box programs in Canada, it feels right, you know, like to be there and you know, be so close to the town and connected to the town is really cool. So yeah, it's a smaller campus. I mean, we only have 215 students, so we just built a brand new turf field, and you know, it feels like you know, like there's 137 acres of forest, and there's a lake on campus, and So I think it's kind of has this kind of neat combination of feeling like you're pretty remote, but not really being that remote. I think it's when we stepped on campus and you know, for the first time to kind of vet it out and to you know, explore it as a potential option. Our leadership team just kind of looked at each other and was like, wow, it just kind of felt right. So it's been a big step for us.
For the first time ever, you can get your official National Lacrosse League fan gear from Fanatics. Fanatics is the official shop for the NLL. Whoever you root for, wherever you live, show your team pride all day, every day with certified National Lacrosse League apparel, including hoodies, shirts, half-zip, sweatshirts, long sleeves, hats, scarves, and of course, jerseys. Of course, we are talking to an NLL legend on this podcast. I would imagine that there are fans out there who've got boatloads of Brody Merrill jerseys, but of course, right now, if you head to the NLL shop on Fanatics, you'll be able to find Brody's San Diego Seals jersey as he remains a mainstay in the Pacific Coast. Whether you're getting ready for the 2021 NLL season or shopping for the fan in your life ahead of the holidays, Fanatics ships gear right to your door. Fanatics is the only place to buy official NLL fan gear. Do what we did and get yours in time for the upcoming season. Save 25% when you use our promo code IL20 at shopnll.com/IL20. That's shopnll.com/IL20, promo code IL20 to get 25% off. One more time, shopnll.com/IL20, promo code IL20.
Let's start by turning the clock back a little bit. One of the elements of this conversation has been the loss of the 2020 season and you know, what you guys were potentially going to be able to accomplish in that campaign. You know, obviously a tremendous amount of talent on that squad. What do you, when you kind of close your eyes, imagine the 2020 season having looked like, as you had, you know, about a dozen players that have gone on to play college lacrosse from that team?
Yeah, it's that group, it's bittersweet because, you know, and when you look at it and, you know, kind of from a broad view and look at specific classes that have been affected or kind of age groups, and I really feel for all the, you know, the graduating seniors from last year, right? And it's such a, I put myself in their shoes and how, you know, just how important that time was and, you know, how emotionally connected you are to your sport, and to have it taken away so abruptly was really hard. And I think for our group in particular at the Hill, it was, we had such a, the year prior we had, you know, players like, you know, Dyson Williams and Zach Young, Graydon Hogg, Adam Patra, these, you know, it was a really strong group. And I feel like last year, we had a lot of players kind of waiting in the wings and maybe under the radar a little bit, but It was funny. It felt like it was really coming together. And we had, it was right before our first game. It felt like we were, it had a really good feeling. And, you know, kind of a chip on our shoulder, but it was, I think, a really well-rounded team. And so it was, yeah, it was tough. And we, you know, with things happening so quickly, it was, you know, I look back with a lot of, you know, again, bittersweet, but it was also, you know, staying connected through that time and relying on each other through that spring to kind of get through it. You know, we'll always, hold those players in high regard.
And so kind of moving forward through time, one of the elements of this past calendar year, one of the highlights of it, at least from an inside lacrosse standpoint and from a kind of the lacrosse community standpoint, was all of the activity around recruiting the class of 2022 that began on September 1st. And as we reflect about 100 days removed from September 1st on how that unfolded, and you know, see that about 400 boys in the class of 22 have committed to play Division I lacrosse. You know, there are a lot of elements to that. You know, I think one of the things that surprised people at the outset, but in retrospect has made a little bit more sense, has been the speed at which a lot of the top players committed. You know, the visits were conducted virtually and the recruitment had been done via film. But one of the things that has emerged is it feels like for Canadian players who weren't able to come across the border and play against other Division I level competition in field lacrosse this summer, maybe the top players emerged and got opportunities, and you do have some committed players in your 22 group, but maybe some of the lesser known quantities or some of the players who were a little bit earlier in their arc of development, a little bit newer to the field game, were kind of left behind or have been left behind to this point. Is that the way you see it? And how have your conversations with college coaches unfolded as you've tried to get some guys on their radar that they might otherwise not have been familiar with?
Yeah, it's interesting. We talked a couple weeks ago, and it's been pretty consistent. You know, and you have a good pulse on things, but yeah, I mean, it's just different, right? Where I think coaches are relying a little bit more on, you know, they have to do their due diligence in different ways, right? And same with the player. And so, and then underlying is this kind of unease, you know, and uncertainty in terms of what options might be out there and you know, how many spots are there and what next year will look like and what the border will look like. And so it's been pretty complex that way, I think. And so I think what's happened is, you know, like they're sometimes, I think it depends on the school and the program. In some cases you see it happen really quickly, like the process happened really quickly where, you know, where a program's almost kind of jumping at a player, faster than you might see. And then, and in other cases, there's this just, hesitation, I think, for programs to really make a commitment without knowing what their, you know, whether it be their budget or who's returning, you know, who may take that fifth year, and not seeing a player live. I've heard that from a number of coaches, right? Just, oh man, I really just want to get and see him, you know, like before I move forward. You know, I think a lot of coaches kind of, you know, maybe in the past have had that kind of, you know, internal rule where they, you know, just need to see them and get a feel for them live. So yeah, I think that shifted a little bit. You see a little bit more of, you know, film, and then maybe taking a deeper dive into their, you know, their character, how they are day to day, you know, placing a little bit more emphasis on those things in the absence of not being able to see players live.
So if that's the conversation or the side of the conversation that you're having with your peers in college coaching with whom you've developed these longstanding relationships and had so many players come through so many different programs and find success, what's it like when you're trying to advise high school juniors on how to consider their options and how to weigh their next steps and assure that they're not overreacting or getting needlessly emotional or letting the stress affect them?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think one of the things I feel like I've been repetitive with this with a number of our players is just cover your bases, right? And I think having different options at different levels. And for what's unique about Canadian students is that we do have some really good options up here in Canada, you know, from education standpoint. There's some, you know, the lacrosse side is different. You know, it is competitive, but it's more like club lacrosse, right? And it's actually really high level, but it's also, you know, it's different than the NCAA experience, which is a little bit more, you know, a bigger commitment and, you know,
it's more structured,
just a different experience and more. Yeah, that's a great word. More structured to it. And, so yeah, I think for players, it's just covering your bases and being, you know, you almost feel like you don't want to come off as negative or pessimistic either. You want to, I always believe that there are, you know, there are great fits out there. And, you know, if you're willing to be open and to, you know, temper expectations a little bit, you know, and I think we've talked about that as you and I've seen it, you know, and read it at different times, just maybe taking that next step down, in terms of like in where you would fit in a normal year. And again, I hate even phrasing it that way because, again, there's some great landing spots out there, and it could be in some ways, you know, a blessing in disguise, right? And opening, you know, players' eyes to all these, you know, you would know the numbers more than me, but, it, you know, I know there's 70-plus Division I options, you know, 70-plus Division II, you know, there's probably 200, you know, over 200 Division III options, and then you have the club side and the Canadian side. So there's a lot of options out there if you want to continue to play collegiate lacrosse. And so just being open and covering all your bases so that that you have an option that you feel good about. And the interesting thing is you almost want to like kind of slow play it. Like if you have time, use the time, right? Like to see how things kind of unfold this spring, right? Because I do sense that there it is a bit of a holding pattern too. To see how the season goes, you know, from college coaches and programs, understandably. And so I can see it's just a gut feeling that there's going to be some movement in the spring, right? As things start to, we get more answers and things, there's more clarity on it. So that's the other thing, you know, if you're in that 22 class or, you know, in that 23 class, or even for, you know, as crazy as it sounds, even for some 21s, like, if you can slow play it a little bit and take your time, something could emerge, right? And I think it just then, you know, my job as a coach and our coaching staff at the Hill is just focused on making sure that they're ready and prepared for when that opportunity does pop up.
So as we turn our attention to the spring, one of the elements that I think you guys are advantaged with is the fact that you have winter sports, right? You, I'm sure, can take some lessons from what you have seen develop with the hockey program in terms of overlaying those with just trying to prepare for the spring lacrosse season. So what have you seen in terms of the way that Hill hockey has developed so far this year?
Yeah, it's been, again, one of the big advantages of being on our own campus and having our own turf field and being in an area where we have been able to play hockey too has been, you know, things have felt normal in a lot of ways. And so we have been able to practice, you know, quite a bit from a lacrosse standpoint. And then from a hockey standpoint, things aren't normal. Like we're not able to travel and, you know, we're very limited in terms of what we can do and obviously from a competitive standpoint, but in the same breath, you know, we feel like, you know, day to day, you know, at the Hill, we're still able to do a lot of the same things that we would on a normal year. So that's been nice and been really kind of development focused and again, hopefully, get through this, you know, a little bit ahead of the curve.
And as far as some of those development steps that you're taking, you know, one of the things about Hill Academy that, you know, is unique compared to many other places is you attract a group of athletes, a group of students that are, you know, really highly competitive and very focused on achievement and goals. And so basically what I'm saying is I can imagine that your inner squad scrimmages are super competitive. So how do you describe some of the things that you guys have done? What are some of the on-field activities that you've done within the group, and how do you guys focus on training and development when it comes to trying to get better?
Yeah, I think that's the way we looked at it heading into the fall, is that we have, 100 lacrosse players, all with the goal to go on to play collegiate lacrosse. So it's a pretty focused group and a pretty high-level group. And we have, a great coaching staff with, Kyle Calais, Riley O'Connor, Reed Acton, Clark Peterson, Luke Magnon, Graham Hossick, Jake Cook, Chris Willman, who's new to the staff this year. And so it's, it's a really good group of people just coming together and kind of, that's what's been kind of neat, is that, in a sense, it's pushed us to be better coaches, but it's also, we've learned a lot, right, in terms of how much we can do just under our roof, so to speak, right, where we can have these kind of cool inner squad scrimmages and mix and match with the groups. So we've had some, more recently, restrictions have been a little bit tighter within the last month or so, but earlier on in September and October, we were able to have, some great inter-squad competition. We call them red white games. And for us, it's been helpful to garner some good film but also I think just, to get those kind of competitive juices flowing a little bit that the majority of that group have not played, since last March. Right. So, that was cool to see play out earlier on in the fall. And I think it was, it kind of served two purposes. We're able to get some quality film, and I think a lot of college coaches, we got a high level engagement that way. We're seeing our group for the first time in the fall. And then the player, from a player standpoint, just getting to play and feeling like, something's on the line, right? We tried to go as in depth as we could on it, taking stats and having these little competitions within our program has been a lot of fun.
That group of coaches you named includes All-Americans, All-World players, national champions. What's the policy on coaches suiting up to be a part of these scrimmages? And have you yourself strapped on the pads at all this fall?
Funny you say that, Terry. Funny, this past week we just had a bunch of our coaches suit up. I haven't yet. I played a little bit of, we call it backyard lacrosse, where we're just kind of more free play, no contact. That's more my wheelhouse these days. But we had this past week Clark Peterson, who plays on the Redwoods and Halifax, and just recent Cornell graduate. He was right in there playing fully suited. And Coach Calais, Kyle Calais too, was, he's a little bit older too, and he still got it. He's around 30. He suited up. And so that's always been a big part of what we do at the Hill. Most of our staff are still playing professionally. So it's pretty common for a couple coaches to jump in, and we actually encourage that. It's kind of cool when a Graham Hossick is, chasing one of our, attackmen around, and it's good for them, good for him. It's one thing to say it, but it's kind of a cool thing to see them demonstrate it or lead by example, whether it be in a conditioning drill or going through some stick work or, just the little things that, to me, kind of, you watch a Clark Peterson go through a line drill. It's just different, right? It's subtle, but just with the intention and how hard he's going, and the players see, okay, this is kind of a standard, and it's nothing complicated. It's just going through a shooting drill with you know, a certain way, right? And, you know, our players definitely pick up on that.
So turning the attention to the spring, realizing that at this point the border is closed, you mentioned that restrictions have actually increased in recent weeks, and certainly that's true over much of the United States as well. To the extent that there's been any clarity around the spring high school season in most of the United States, it's been to basically push the start of the season further into the spring. For those that might not be fully familiar, for Hill Academy, you know, much of your spring season is kind of determined by a couple trips to the United States to play some of the best high school teams all across the country. For example, your rivalry with Calvert Hall that dates back to 2008 is one of the most exciting kind of games on a annual basis in high school lacrosse. So, you know, realizing that it's almost impossible to predict what this spring might look like, how are you and the rest of the leadership just approaching thinking about the spring? Are you just trying to maintain flexibility as long as possible, or are you coming up with contingencies? What has been the approach when it comes to this is how we're hopeful that if the situation develops in a certain way, we'll be able to bring some sort of season to life in the spring?
Yeah, it's I think that's just it. Being flexible. I think, we've reached out to, you know, all the programs and coaches that we would typically play and just been getting, you know, putting out feelers and seeing how things are going, you know, understanding that there's probably not a lot of answers right now, but, yeah, you even texting with Coach Kelly the other day, just, you know, staying in touch and, you know, for us, we're pretty agile in that, you know, if things do turn for the better and we're all things are, you know, open up and we're able to play, we'll, you know, we're kind of ready and willing, with not much notice, if that time should come. So we're just, you know, we said this to our group of players recently, you want to plan, you don't want to be surprised, right? If things do open up, we're able to play again. We want to just make sure that we're prepared and, that we're ready when, you know, if and when the time does come. And you know, what's cool about our new campus, so we are able to host a lot more than we have been in the past. And so even locally here, you know, try to be able to do more just on campus if the border should stay closed through the spring or things, you know, don't open up the way that we hope it does.
That was a place that I wanted to leave it, which was just around the idea of hosting. Home games have not been a common occurrence in the history of the Hill Academy, but whether it's the spring of 2021 or beyond, the idea of bringing some of these kind of nationally recognized programs to Ontario in order to, you know, get some payback for the decade plus that you've spent on the road. How exciting is that? You know, it might not necessarily rise to the level of, you know, being able to offer dorms or being able to offer, you know, permanent classrooms, some of the other kind of benefits or assets of the campus and the move. But at the same time, it's got to be pretty appealing when you think about all the time that you spent on a bus dating back more than a decade.
Yeah, it's funny. I haven't really allowed my mind to get there yet, but there are times when you just think, oh man, how cool is this going to be when a Calvert Hall comes up and just a setting at our school. And, you know, I think it's obviously been a long time coming for us, but I think it's going to be great from both sides, right? Like, you know, talking to some different coaches and, you know, kind of having something different on their schedule to be able to come up and experience that and come to kind of a hotbed in Canadian lacrosse and experience that, I think will be cool. And for sure. I think for our players and our coaches, just, you know, hopefully limiting travel a little bit. It used to be pretty crazy, especially in our earlier days, but, being able to host more. There's also, like, we hope to host some college games in the future and, you know, be, you know, future national team training camps, things like that. That's what our goals are in the future. So every once in a while, yeah, my mind will get there and we'll start to get really excited and picture it. You've got to remind myself that's on the horizon at some point.
Well, I think that's a good place to leave it, Brody. We really appreciate your time on the Inside the Cross podcast. It's been a wild year in pretty much everybody's life, but certainly for a family that has stewarded the move of a school campus from one location to another in the midst of a global pandemic. Very hard to imagine being crazier than that. So appreciate your time, and we'll let you get back to it. I know you've got a week before the first semester comes to a close, and you get an opportunity to hopefully catch up on some rest. So we'll let you get back to that final week of execution phase before, like I said, you get an opportunity to recharge the batteries.
Thanks, Terry. Likewise, and thanks for all your support. We appreciate it and appreciate you having me on.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.